Spirit of 608, episode 54. This episode sponsored by Beta Brand, the crowdfunded clothing community and home to such sartorial wonders as dress pant yoga pants and the 30 day dress. You're listening to the Spirit of 608 podcast. I'm your host, Lorraine Sanders. Keep listening for stories, tips, and advice from women at the forefront of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech. I call it FEST, and it's the future. Hello, hello, and welcome to today's episode. Thank you so much for opening up the podcast today. Whether you are walking, cleaning, working out, or maybe commuting. Speaking of commuting, we were so psyched. Thank you. Big shout out to Pure Wow, and specifically Pure Wow San Francisco, and its super awesome, fabulous editor, Allison, who we go way back. Love her to death. And thank you for including us in such an awesome roundup of podcasts in a recent feature that went up on the site. If you love listening to podcasts, I would highly recommend checking out Pure Wow San Francisco and this story, and I'll put it in the show notes for the episode. A lot of really cool shows there that I learned about, and I'm psyched to listen to in the future. So super big thanks to them. Couple things right at the top of the show. I don't know if you can tell, my voice is kind of not normal. I'm battling a bit of a cold, and I waited as long as I could in hopes that I would get past this before recording the show, but I can't wait any longer or the show won't come out. So thank you for bearing with my subpar voice. One thing I'm hoping will be very far on the other end of the spectrum than subpar. Coming up in May 16th to be exact, I'm going to be in San Francisco. And, you know, yeah, it's a Monday, but hopefully this will be something that'll make your Monday a little bit better. If you're in San Francisco and you want to come hang out with me and, you know, basically just say hi and hang out with other ladies who are into FEST and this, you know, intersection of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech, and possibly record a little bit for a future show. Stay tuned to the podcast for details. I'm just finalizing the specifics on where we're going to be, but I promise you it is going to be a place that has historic significance to the podcast. I'll announce that soon on the show, and you can also keep tabs on what's happening there by joining the Spirit of 608 mailing list, and you'll find handy sign up ops to do that on the website spiritof608.com. Also, very far from subpar and in San Francisco, drum roll, our awesome sponsor, Beta Brand. As you've heard me say in recent weeks, you can get 20% off anything when you shop the site using the code SPIRIT20. As I have said many times before, I'm a big fan of this company that these days is really well known for its crowdfunded clothing. And, you know, you got to get in on things over at Beta Brand quickly, or, you know, sometimes they disappear. Case in point, there was a dress that I talked about a couple shows back. It was this seersucker dress that had a V-neck, and it was very like sort of sophisticated, even though I tend to think seersucker's kind of campy, but it was this perfect combination. And I kept saying to myself, you know, I think I'm going to buy that. And guess what? Went back to the site, totally not there. So this is the beauty and the pain of the crowdsourced clothing experience. If you see something over there, I'd urge you to grab it. Don't let what happened to me happen to you. Speaking of beauty and pain, not to take it to a dark place, today's guest is in the midst of something that many people might assume would involve a little of both of those things. Here's what I mean. She is building a company with her significant other, specifically her husband. I don't know about you, but thinking about building a company with my husband, man, I mean, I don't care how great your relationship is, that is a challenge, right? But also something that could be like incredibly amazing. That was far from the only reason that I wanted to have today's guest, Jen Lavelle of Mizzen and Main, on the show. But when I heard she was totally cool talking about that aspect of the business, I thought, wow, what a cool opportunity to get into a subject that many entrepreneurs don't really want to talk about, and that's their personal lives and how they play into the success of the business. I really appreciated Jen's openness and authenticity and willingness just to be real. Along with that, I was super excited to get the first person on the show who's got a menswear brand. And that's right, Mizzen and Main is menswear made using performance fabrics or elements of performance fabrics. And I am a huge nerd fan of high-tech textiles. So I was really excited to get her on the show for that reason as well. Also, with this guest, we're bringing it to the middle of the U.S. We've been hanging out on the coast a little bit too much. So Jen is in Dallas, and that's where the company's based. You really can never have enough Texans. I've got to say that. Texans are just like their own breed. And I was really glad to get one on the show this week for you. Not like they're like, you know, zoo animals or anything, but still bringing a little bit of the Dallas perspective to the podcast. One place you can go and stare at people like they're zoo animals and will also interact and like be nice and buy stuff. Urban Era Market. I'm proud to be able to say that the Spirit of 608 is partnering up with Urban Era Market to get the word out about their upcoming events, which are kicking off very soon, May 1st, Sunday, in fact, in San Francisco. And they've got a ton of great outdoor shopping events that will connect you with all kinds of amazing independent brands. Coming up later this year, they're going to be in Los Angeles, Portland, and some other good places too that haven't been announced yet. This is one of my favorite ways to discover new cool stuff. I've been to the event many times myself, and if you're in the Bay Area, I hope you will check it out on May 1st. And if you are a fest entrepreneur or brand and you want to get involved with a really cool event where you can showcase your products, this is a great organization to check out. Reach out to Danielle, Urban Air Market. You can find everything you need to know online at urbanairmarket.com. So here we go. Now onto my conversation with Jen Lavelle of Mizzen and Main. Jen, welcome to the Spirit of 608 podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you here. And, you know, you have the distinction of being the first female entrepreneur to come on the show and talk about a menswear company. So this is like a cool thing. You know, I haven't had any men on the show. And so that's meant that we haven't really talked that much about menswear thus far. So you're really bringing something new to the audience.
I'm honored. Thank you.
Yeah. So, and you also, I think I'm like, filing back in my head here as I'm talking to you, but I think you're also the first entrepreneur to come on the show who is in the midst of running a company with her significant other.
Yeah, that is true. Every day.
I know. And I know that you're like super cool with talking about that. So I was excited because, you know, some people like the relationship piece of things isn't what they're like, you know, wanting to focus on in a conversation, but I think it's what a lot of times people are really interested in hearing about. So I was excited to hear that you were like, yeah, no problem. I'll talk about that.
Yeah, no problem at all. I was having a conversation with one of my girlfriends not too long ago, and I was remarking on how sometimes when Kevin and I go to a conference or a meeting and I'm introduced as the CMO of Mizzen and Main, normally we try to caveat with, and also that she's my wife or what have you. And somehow when you bring up the fact that I'm also the spouse of the other partner that's running the business, it devalues my work in some way, which is so funny because this is a 24/7 deal for both of us. So I think that we feel as though it brings a heck of a lot of value.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I can see how that would happen. And I hate to say that I could see that. But like, I feel like the stereotype sometimes is when you hear that there is a spouse involved. And I do this too with guys, like sometimes I'll stereotype a guy and be like, oh, well, they just brought him in to deal with, you know, the finance part or something.
Right.
You know?
Then you're right. Exactly right. Yeah.
I'm like angry at my own stereotypical brain. But like, I don't know. So it seems to me like clear that that's something that would happen frequently to you. And I want to get into what Mizzen and Main does at the beginning of the show.
Right.
Just a sec. But while we're on this topic, since we're in here already,
Like, do you have any like strategies for presenting yourself in a way that kind of counters that initial impression?
You know, I would say that I don't really focus on it. When it happens, you obviously can tell a whole lot about the person that you're talking to or engaging with. But apart from that, I think that once, if we do start talking about business, they very quickly understand that this is a 50-50 deal. So I think that it's not really trying to play offense at all. It's more just once you kind of get to know me and have a longer conversation with me, the truth, you know, kind of comes out, and whatever preconceived notion you might have about how we work together or kind of how it goes down, it just sort of dissolves. So I think it's not really a whole lot of watching out for it, because I am who I am, and I'm certainly not going to change who I am to try and convince someone that I'm that I'm as a part of this business as he is. So does that make sense?
Totally does. And you know, I feel like it would be wasted energy on your part to try to do that. You know, what you're saying is something that I hear regularly from, you know, thought leaders and female entrepreneurs these days. And that's, you know, when people react to you in a way that, you know, well, good or bad, but, you know, specifically like when it's negative or something that you weren't expecting, it tells you more about them than it does about you. And that's a great way to
absolutely
think about it, because you just, you know, detach yourself from it and move on with what you're doing. So we'll get back to how everything works inside the business in a second, but can you tell us a little bit about what Ms. Namain does, how you're different, and, you know, what you're bringing to the menswear market that wasn't out there before?
Sure. So we developed the idea of bringing performance fabrics into men's dress wear. So the same fabrics you would wear on the golf course or on the tennis court, the moisture wicking fabric, most people know it as sort of like dry fit fabric. We've brought into the same clothing items that you would wear with a suit and tie. So the first product that we developed was a dress shirt, and we weren't sure if it would come together and actually look like a traditional dress shirt, because that's mostly our goal, is to just take traditional, wonderful men's garments and make them just a little bit better. So we're just sort of evolving on the traditional dress shirt and making it look a little sharper, look a little crisper. And also, you don't have to dry clean it or iron it. So you wash it on cold and hang it up to dry, which is pretty good for a lot of gentlemen who don't really care to do either one of those things. So while it sounded like a little bit of a kooky idea at the beginning, once we started prototyping, we quickly learned that this was a totally viable concept. And we're really proud to say that we've grown it from dress shirts to chinos to denim to blazers, Henleys, and other pieces that are all made here in America, which is pretty important to us. And we give back to veterans and their families along the way. So that's a little bit about Mizzen and Ming.
Thank you for that. And it's so cool that you came out with this. I mean, I'm a big, you know, fan of textiles that have some kind of high-tech element, not like with like lights and, you know, batteries and all that stuff, but just textiles that are functional, you know? So it's really cool to see how you're bringing this to the market. And it does look good, although that may be like just because you guys work with a lot of athletes, right? As you're...
We do.
There's some like, you know, there's some like... well-built dudes who are...
It's so funny. JJ Watt is our main spokesperson in the athlete realm. And it's, my face blushes when we post with him on Instagram. These women jump in and they're like all about it. So apparently he's a good representative for us.
Okay. So people listening, if you haven't checked out the Instagram account and you want to see some attractive fellows to brighten your day, check it out. And okay. Well, so how did you end up doing this? And walk me through what you were doing before and what prompted you to take the leap into this startup life.
Sure. So my background professionally is in branding and marketing. And Kevin's, my husband's background, was in engineering, actually. And so he was working at an oil company in their kind of their investment group and in new energy technologies, which he loved. And I was working in branding and marketing when we founded the company. And he had had the idea, the concept really, since he was really young. And the first thing he thought was, if this was a good idea, this is such a good idea that if someone else had tried it, there's probably a reason why, you know, it's not a product that we get to enjoy. So he kind of discounted his youth, I guess, in thinking about the idea and coming up with it. And so the idea kind of kept bubbling up, and we would, you know, have two glasses of wine, and all of a sudden we were talking about it again. And so we just decided to develop a prototype. And from there, we decided that we should go ahead and make a first small run of shirts. And from there, I mean, the rest is history. So he quit his job a month after we got married to pursue this. And I kept working for another year and a half, 2 years, so that we could pay our bills. And we founded the company with our savings. And from there, we've done a couple of fundraising rounds, but it's really, we're pretty much profitable at this point, which is something we're hugely proud of. And our employees laugh about how cheap we are, but there's a reason why.
That's funny. Well, I mean, can you give me an example of like what you mean when you say you're cheap?
Oh gosh, everything. Well, you know, we've done a couple photo shoots where we all share rooms. So if the photographer and my husband will share a room, and a couple of the gals on my team and I will share a room, and notice I say gals. So there are three of us in a room with two standard beds or what have you. So we are getting up close and personal. So just, you know, trying to be good stewards of our money and of our investors' money. And I think that it's really made a difference in the culture of our business. Kevin and I have walked we have about 20 people that work with us now, and we've walked everyone through, you know, the finances of what we're spending and what we're bringing in and, you know, how all of this adds up. And I think that that really makes a difference in how people approach how many color copies they make, which is a crazy thing to say. But I think particularly when you've made the choice to manufacture here in America, every little bit helps.
So when you were making the decision to join the company full time, was that a foregone conclusion that you were going to do that in your head?
Not at all. Not at all.
How did you like come around to knowing that that was the right thing to do?
Yeah. So basically the company started growing at a rate that in the evening time, Kevin was working from our home, and then he would start packing boxes at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we would be packing boxes literally until the FedEx man showed up, and we would be begging and pleading with him to just wait another 5 minutes so that we could pack up a few more boxes. So really we've grown this business from our home and all the way forward. I would say that there was kind of a point where he could not handle managing everything by himself. And we had hired a couple of wholesale salespeople that were also helping with customer service, which is interesting. And I think that things just kind of grew to the point where he really needed help. And I will never forget the day that I came home and we were frantically packing boxes, and he said, I need your help. I need you to help me. And at that point, I was at a job that I really loved, like really, really loved. And I felt like I was being called back to the family farm or something because I really loved what I was doing and was a tough choice to make. But at the same time, it kind of felt like, do you know what? We've sunk so much of our blood, sweat, and tears into this business. It's growing like mad, and it's all of our savings and all of, you know, ourselves. If I can't step away from what I'm doing to support what we're doing, then what are we doing here? So I think that that was a huge decision to make. That, and I think at that point I had 5 or 6 years of experience in marketing and branding, but had zero experience in e-commerce business, just to put it simply. And so I think that I really discounted my skills and the skills that I felt like someone would need to run marketing for our business. So I think I felt like I was stepping into some pretty huge shoes, because I knew where we wanted to go and what we were going to need to do in theory to get there. And so I think gosh, when I joined Mizzen and Main full time, I was 27 or 28. And so I just kind of felt like, who, me? No. We need someone with gray hair that has been doing this for a really long time. But I think that it was one of the better leaps of faith that both he and I have made together, for sure.
That's cool to hear. And I'm a big fan of this idea. I've been talking to several people about it recently, just about like taking your leaps early, especially for women in your 20s. And a guest coming up in March, who actually, by the time this airs, may have been on before you, but her name's Miriam Nafisi. She founded Minted, among other companies. And she just talks a lot about how, you know, women in their 20s often think, hey, I don't know if I have enough experience to do this job, but really, in the grand scheme of things, it's an awesome time to take a risk because you can. And I'm speaking mainly for women that are thinking about having families or, you know, are going to end up being tied down by other things in their lives and or more involved in things later in life. So I think that's really cool. And I'm underscoring it so listeners can take it in because I think it's an important thing. Okay, so talking about this, I love the fact that your husband was like, I need your help. You know, he really like asked you for it and was, you know, just realized that he needed help and was willing to kind of proactively go out and try to bring you in. How do you guys balance your sort of, you know, relationship time versus work time? Or is it not an issue? Do you guys kind of just roll along? I mean, talk to me about that, because I would feel like for myself, I know that my husband and I would like totally kill each other.
A lot of people say that. And I feel like I probably would have said that too. And that was part of the conversation, obviously, when we talked about me joining. And I would say that the one key piece of advice that I would give spouses and life partners that are talking about going into business together is you just have to speak up. Rules like, we're not going to talk about business once we walk through the front door, or after 8 p.m., we don't talk about business, or, you know, setting those rules up, that just doesn't, at least for us, that just doesn't work, because there are times where it is a 24-hour, you know, episode that we're trying to work through, or something really neat is happening, you know, something really positive is happening, and we just can't shut up about it. I mean, you don't want to not celebrate your wins, but I think that it's something that we have struggled with. I'd be lying if I said we haven't struggled with it, but I think the one thing that I've learned is you've just gotta speak up. And what I mean when I say that is when I was working in the position I was working in before I joined with Kevin and Mizzen and Main full time, I would come home, I would bebop through the door and pour myself a glass of wine and want to, you know, hear all about his day. And I would be, you know, I don't know, more or less just kind of happy the day was quote unquote over. He was like head in hands, stressed to the max, you know, with whatever might have been going on. And the way that I try and explain it is we weren't on the same roller coaster. You know, I would have bad days, he would have good days, or kind of vice versa. And I think being on the same roller coaster is really helpful, because when something really awesome happens, you're both, you know, ecstatic. When something not so awesome happens, or when you've got a hurdle that's just really tough, you know, you can be there for each other. But I think when you kind of start to get to feel like, do you know what, I want to talk about something other than this, then you just kind of have to say, but those kind of rules that a therapist would tell you to kind of make an edict about, that just hasn't worked for us. And I haven't talked to another couple that's been in business together that has had the same thing work for them either.
I love that idea of being on the same roller coaster. And it seems like you would have to really, to make this type of thing work, you'd really have to be the kind of couple that derives a lot of support and stability from being in it together and having a similar experience. And it's clear that you have to be the type of couple that can really be there for each other, you know, because not every couple is sort of naturally that way. They kind of do their separate thing, and then, you know, the dynamic is a little bit different. But, you know, thank you for giving us the insight into how you guys work.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just think that's very, it's very romantic. It is.
Not always. Not always, Lorraine. Not always.
Okay. Well, so you mentioned that you did not have e-commerce, you know, specific, a lot of background experience with that before you came into this business. And a lot of women who are listening are in a similar boat and they're hoping to build their business or they're already in the midst of it. And I'm wondering what advice you'd have for them. How do you get the education you need and where do you turn for resources when you're, you know, an emerging founder and you're really looking to like shore up your skills and do the best job you can?
I think that's a really good question. And I was considering, pretty seriously considering getting my MBA before I joined full-time with Mizzen and Main. And now, because this is just a crazy time with the business, it's not really on the horizon for the next couple of years for me. And so I have struggled with the whole education piece of things. And I would say that for me, it has been try and sink your teeth into, you know, I was intimidated, frankly, in learning a lot about how the website worked and how we were doing certain things that seemed to me to be very technical. I know there are other founders out there that that's their jam and that wasn't me. So I think that I had to really focus on giving myself a chance to absorb it. And then the one thing that I've learned is if you really are honest with yourself, you've given yourself a chance to really absorb it, then I would go out and find an expert and invest in an expert. You're obviously not going to need an expert for everything, but there have been things where I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, I've tried and tried and tried. I might get it, but I hate this and it takes me 15 times longer than I feel like it should. And to find experts, I in our community and across the world really found other founders that I really connect with that seem to have the same strengths and weaknesses that I do. And I've found people on various kind of topics, if you will, through other founders that I can lean on to either one, hire out a skill or two, learn a skill that I'm having trouble forcing myself to kind of meld with on my own. Does that make sense?
It does. And it's such good advice. And I always need, as you're saying this, I'm like, thank you for the reminder, because in my own little, you know, pocket of the universe, I'm constantly trying to mess with my websites and totally screwing it up. Like it's one of those things where I'm always like, no, I'm going to figure this out. And I don't want to hire, you know, a person to work on this for me. But then you're like, oh my God, I just spent 20 hours doing this and everything else is behind. So I know you're talking about it on probably a much different level, you know, a company-wide level, but I'm thinking of this, I'm internalizing it and going, okay, maybe what I'm going to do this week, now that I've heard Jen say this, is find myself another WordPress person because I need their help. Anyway.
That, and I was shocked. I was shocked at how approachable some of the experts that we've worked with have been. If you just kind of explain where you are and what you're up to and really what you need guidance on, sometimes they'll do it for you, but they'll show you how they did it, you know, so that you're not just blind and perhaps don't need as much help. I've learned more than I can even possibly describe just from having just kind of saying, hey, wait a minute, how did you do that? And even if it doesn't make total sense to you, at least you have a little bit more of a context for what's happening. I know that sounds really, that's oversimplified and kind of lame, but that's kind of how we've done things.
Yeah, but you know, you're talking about like teach a man to fish, teach a woman
exactly
to fish type of deal. I think that's the best thing, you know, ever. And it's great when you find an expert who's willing to do that. And they're not all cagey about, you know, keeping the reins tight and all that stuff.
If you find somebody that won't explain something to you, that you're with the wrong person.
That's good advice. So more advice coming up sort of on the last part of the show. And I have a few questions I always ask guests. And one of them is, are there any tech tools, apps, books, resources, or other great pieces of advice that are helping you right now kick more ass in your day-to-day life that you think listeners would benefit from hearing?
Yeah, so I live on my email and by my calendar. And every, you know, that's really what drives my life. And so I have listened to Tim Ferriss. I've tried all of these different crazy efficiency techniques for scheduling myself and prioritizing my to-dos and tasks. And I would say that from a technical standpoint, it's not for everyone. So I'm sure people are some feedback, but I have started using Outlook, not Outlook email, because that's bad, but Outlook on your phone. It's an app that you can download and run your email through it on your phone. And you can set emails to get sucked out of your inbox and come back at a later time. So I don't know about you, but sometimes I read an email and I'm like, yep, I need to do that, but I can't do it right now because I'm at a shoot or I'm, you know, doing something else. But if you use your email as a to-do list or a reminder list, that is an amazing thing because it'll come zooming back in and you'll think, okay, I can do this now. And you can set the time that it'll come back to haunt you too. So I use that, and I've recently switched from a paper to-do list. I was a huge paper to-do list gal to Todoist, and I really have been enjoying using that for my tasks. And so you get the same satisfaction of checking things off. You just do it on your computer or on your phone. So those are the two technical things. And then just in general, I would say I just feel like I've been super, super lucky in having a bunch of really great mentors around me, whether they be in my family or outside of my family or friends, even, you know, just people who weigh in and kind of give perspective as far as direction for the business, direction for life, et cetera. And I would say that don't count those out as far as kind of their position in your tool belt.
Great advice. So you and I have not hung out in person, but if we were to hang out all day, what would I end up loving about you and what would drive me insane?
Let's see. I would say that I really love to talk and laugh. And so if we got to go in, we probably would just sit there and have three glasses of wine and talk and talk and talk and talk. And you're like, oh my gosh, is this ever going to end? So I love to do that, but I love to do that with all different kinds of people. And we have dinner parties and we try and invite people from all different walks of life to get just these awesome conversations going. So I think I would consider that one of the favorite things that I have about myself. So hopefully you would enjoy that too. And as far as things that would drive you crazy, Kevin hardly ever puts his phone down, does not ever put his phone down. I actually threw his phone out the car window one time and it landed in a patch of grass, which I was really disappointed about. And so I don't ever look at my phone. So if we were, you know, somehow got separated and you wanted to find me, I'm pretty bad about looking at my phone. And so he got me an Apple Watch, which I call my tracking device, which helps a little bit with the whole phone scenario. But that definitely is something that I could work on probably if I chose to, but I don't really want to be one of those people that's always looking at their phone.
Nice. I totally have friends like that where I'm like, well, can't send her a text message because she's not going to look at her phone until Saturday. So,
right.
All right. That's awesome. So if you had to print a phrase or a motto on a t-shirt and wear it around for the next 7 days, what would it be?
Well, I have this quote that I have on my computer. I have it at my desk and it's from Estee Lauder. And she said, you know, I'm not looking at it right now, but it says, I didn't dream about my success. I worked for it. I feel like I'm one of those people who really visualizes success. And I love to think about, you know, all the wonderful things we're going to be able to do for ourselves and for our employees and for this awesome group of people that we've brought together, you know, in trying to climb this mountain. But I think that you really have to bring that back to every moment of every project that you're focused on. So I love that quote, and it's something that I try and bring into my everyday life.
That's wonderful. I'm glad you shared that one. That's a great one. So I always close out by asking guests if they have a question they'd like to ask me after, you know, asking you questions for 30 minutes plus. I feel like it's only fair to return the favor. And anything you want to ask, silly or serious, I promise to give you an honest answer.
Awesome. So do you drink coffee or tea in the morning?
Coffee.
Coffee. Okay. And what is your favorite thing about working in this industry? And what's your not so favorite thing about working or covering the fashion industry.
Okay. So favorite thing, hands down, especially with the podcasting piece of it being a big part of my life right now, is that I just get so much energy and an uplifted feeling and, you know, just this great kind of jazz up sort of thing from talking to entrepreneurs. It's like, I've said this before, but sometimes I feel like I'm like that thing in the movie Cocoon that's in the pool that, you know, they're like going and absorbing the energy from, and the entrepreneurs are like the aliens and I'm like the old people. So anyway, and I'm like somebody that I really just like, I kind of like seek that out from other people, and it brings a lot to my life. So that's the most positive thing. I would say the most negative thing or the downside about being in the media is just that, you know, to be honest, it's like a really shit industry to be in. Like, you know, and it's partially one of the reasons that I'm transitioning these days into my own, you know, thing again. I used to kind of have my own website that I ran as a large part of what I did, and that kind of fell by the wayside. And now I'm really focused on this because when you write for other publications, you know, if any of my editors ever listen to this, I love you all. But the way the media is structured right now, it's really hard, and it's kind of a thankless business to be in. And there's a lot of sort of, what's the right word? Like, there's kind of an empty, soulless quality to it because you really are under pressure to deliver content for reasons that are different than what I think media and journalists and journalism, you know, started out as, you know? And
yeah.
The core of the meaning behind it doesn't jive with the business model. And so you're in this weird space where it's got this soulless, you know, under current to it. So that's what I would say the downside is.
Yeah, I totally hear that. And first of all, I thank you for sharing that. But second of all, I'll say that I totally get what you're saying. On the flip side, the media kind of industry has had so much to do with the growth of our business that I hate hearing that you feel like it's this thankless kind of role, because I feel like some of the people that we've worked with in the media, we've formed these awesome relationships with, and regardless of whether we kind of fit into what they're trying to do at the moment, we try and meet up when we can, and we've kind of formed these friendships, and, you know, we kind of are all striving towards, you know, kind of some similar goals. So I thank you. I don't want you to feel like it's thankless.
Oh my God, that's cool. I don't think anyone's ever been like, thank you. No, I know that's really cool to hear. And, you know, I'm just one journalist. I'm like one grouchy journalist. So there's a lot of people that, I mean, they're like thrilled to be in the mix. So I, you know, I have my own little perspective on it. And there's no question that, you know, with media and startups, there's like some really cool things that happen. And to me, the times that I have been able to write about companies that people have not heard of to the degree that I've thought that they should hear about them, and they get attention and it changes things for them in a small way, like, it's the coolest thing. So I'm glad to hear that's happened for you. And I'm even gladder, I don't know if gladder, if that's grammatically correct, but that you have been on this show. And if people want to keep up with you and what's happening with Mizzen and Main this year, what's the best way to connect online, throw out a social media handle? How do we find you?
Yeah, I'd say at Mizzen and Main is the best way to keep in touch with us. And we're all over the place for social media, so it won't be hard to find us for sure.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for coming on and for sharing your advice and telling us more about what you do. And we will keep an eye on what's happening in the future. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thanks so much, Lorraine. Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Jen. Had a great time talking to her. I'm glad to know somebody out there likes journalists. I mean, you know, it's about time. Seriously, I meant what I said at the beginning of the show. If you need to brighten your day, you know, check out their Instagram feed. Awesome stuff. And if you want to brighten my day, check out my Instagram feed at spiritof608. Don't forget, over at Beta Brand, 20% off is waiting for you when you use the code SPIRIT20. And I hope you will join me next time for another conversation with a woman at the forefront of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech. As you know, I call it fast, and it's